Don't you have another one? Woo! Gone at last. I noticed y'all were glad they're gone at last. You know, you might not get rid of all your situations, but you can get rid of all your sin. That's good news. You can't always get rid of the situation. It may hang around for a long time. Even when you think it's over, it might still be lingering out there. But boy, the sins are gone. Don't bring those back. When God gets rid of them, they're gone. And he judges sin, doesn't he? Turn to Acts chapter 17. And let's look at verse 29 through 31, if you will. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he hath raised him from the dead. Now, if you'll flip over to Romans chapter 14, we'll read 10, 11, and 12. I'll give you time to get there. And why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And I'm going to add there, not another, but of himself. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Lord, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that you give us the rules and regulations. Lord, we're grateful that you give us a way of life. We're grateful that you give us a way out of death. And we praise you, Lord, for everything that you have done for us today. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all have ever had a job where you had to retire from it or quit or got fired? And you had a final payday. Y'all remember the final paycheck? You know, if you'll just come by and get your final pay, checks made out. It could be a good thing, and it could probably be a sad thing too. It could. But anyway, it's the final check that you get. Well, I went to get paid one time when I was in the military, and I went in to get my pay, and it had a big old thing out from it, said NPD. And I was a little dumb as to what that was, but the man explained it to me real quick. It's no pay due. I said, you got to be kidding. I need bread and milk. No pay due? That's the way it was. But the Lord's good, isn't he? Well, that won't be the way it'll be at the end of our life. There will be a pay that's due. There will always be a final paycheck. One way or the other, there's going to be a final paycheck. Whether you're saved or lost, there'll be a final paycheck. Here's what the Bible says. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Our eternal destiny is determined where we live today. It's here on this earth. You're not going to change it after this thing's over down here. Judgment day for the faithful born-again children of God will be a wonderful time. It's going to be wonderful. You won't have to worry about the final paycheck. You won't have to worry about if there's any judgment, any condemnation. There's not going to be any. It's going to be absolutely wonderful, and it's going to be done to the glory of God. God's going to get the glory for everything that happens on that day. For the unsaved, it's going to be an absolute awful time. You don't want your family members going through this. You don't want your friends. You don't want anybody going through the payday of those who do not know Jesus Christ. That's why it is so important that we see that it's of our responsibility to ask everyone that we come in contact with, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Because that's how serious it is. And it could happen today. We don't know. That's why I said a few minutes ago, you may not change all your circumstances down here. You may not change all your situations, but you sure can change your sin problem. And the sin problem is just simply unbelief in Jesus Christ, that he is the Savior of the world and can forgive you and save your soul. You say, but what about all the other things I've done wrong in this life? God will take care of that. What you got to take care of first is the fact that you haven't repented of your sin of unbelief in him. You've got to recognize him, that he came to die just for you to save you from your sin, so that you can leave here on good terms with him and go to heaven. Well, let's take a look at the two sides, okay, just for a minute, and I'll try to make this as simple as the Bible makes it. It is very simple. What does a Christian's final pay mean? What would it mean? If I were to say there is a Christian's final pay, what would it mean? Well, I'll use the negative term and say it would mean no condemnation for him or her. No condemnation. Now, nobody wants to be condemned. The word condemned, usually we would associate it with the final condemnation of a person who is condemned to death. Condemned to die. You have been condemned to die. No one wants to hear that, right? But that would be what it would be. But for the child of God, there is no condemnation for him. The Bible plainly states, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now, in Christ Jesus means that you have come to the realization that you are lost. Your sin is absolutely damning and dooming your soul and taking it to a literal hell. That's what it's doing. But he says, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. So if you've repented of your sin and he's forgiven you, and you know he'll take it all away, you're not under that anymore. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the law of condemnation has no hold after the penalty has been paid. The penalty has to be paid. So Jesus came to pay the penalty. And when he paid the penalty and you received him as your Savior, there is no condemnation anymore. No one can condemn you. If I could say it, I don't even know if it's a real word, probably isn't, but you are uncondemnable. You cannot be condemned any longer. Christ paid the price on Calvary. When he came from heaven to die for you on Calvary, he paid the sin debt. No longer are you liable for that. So we trust in our Lord now. We trusted him to give us a plan of salvation. We trust him to forgive our sin and save us. And we trust him in the now. We trusted him in death. or we'll trust him in death, and we'll trust him at the judgment seat. I don't have to worry when it comes time for the judgment for the child of God, because it's a whole different judgment for the child of God than it is the person who's lost. And the judgment seat of Christ is where we're going to be. And that judgment is not one you need to fear, because you're going to stand before him and you're going to be judged, but that is for the rewards that are due you for the things you did by faith to please him. And that's the only things that will please God are the things you do by faith. Now, by that we mean that you trust that he's getting all the glory for it. So if you do anything of your own to try to bring glory to you, it's not going to be favorable to him. It has to be so that he gets the glory for it. So whatever we do down here, we do for him. If you're not saved, you're condemned already. There's nothing, no man can do anything for you. The Catholic priest can't do anything for you. The preacher of the Baptist church can't do anything for you. The preacher of any other denomination can't do anything for you. You are where you are because your destiny is determined here on this earth. So you're going to have to come, if you're lost tonight, you're going to have to come to the conclusion that only you can do something about your sin question. Only you. And you're going to have to repent, and repentance is the only answer for it. There isn't anything you can't do so many beads. You can't do so many days in church. You can't do it, so many good deeds. None of that is going to make any difference. The only thing you can do is repent of the sin that's in your life and let him forgive you of it and take it away. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Pretty plain, isn't it? He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name. He just turned it around. You either believe or you don't. And that's how simple he's made this. Not believeth in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's as plain as it gets, folks. And if you're lost tonight, you need to do something about it. But if you're saved, you have an opportunity here to rejoice. Yeah, we have an opportunity, and I'm looking forward to it because I'm going to a place where I'm not going to be condemned, because I am not condemned now. I have accepted him as my Savior, asked him to forgive me of my sin. He forgave me of my sin, and he's paid the penalty, and I am now no longer living under condemnation. That's a praise item. That's a time of rejoicing. That time is going to be a time simply for reward for me. I'm not going to be judged as to whether I'm saved or lost. I'm saved. But I am going to be judged as for the rewards. Now, the rewards will be for what we did. I believe that if a person's genuinely saved, they have genuinely given their heart and life to the Lord, they want to do something for the cause of Christ. They want to do something for the kingdom. They don't want to do something just to look good on the list of people who volunteer to do jobs. I love volunteers. We live in a volunteer state, and I love people who volunteer to help other people. But folks, volunteering is not going to be anything that's going to give you any rewards. We anticipate that day when we'll stand before the face of Jesus himself, and we're going to be judged by him. God's already appointed him to be that. And when we stand before him, we're going to stand before him having done our very level best because we love him. I believe if I love him like I say I do, I'm going to want to do everything I can for his kingdom, because it's his kingdom and not mine. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And if we're saved, we would definitely say, I love him, wouldn't we? I love him. He loved me. I get a chance to love him. And if I have come to the place to where I recognize what he did at Calvary, he died for me. You see, I have that kind of love. He died for me, and I love him for dying for me, because he gave me a way for salvation. He gave me a way to have eternal life. Shouldn't I love him? Of course I should. He died for me and I love him. But he loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me for no reason at all. That's the difference in our loves. So is it a good thing to be a born-again child of God? Is it a good thing to recognize that your sin is going to take you to hell, but there is a way to go to heaven? And he made it so simple that if you realize that sin is heavy on you, sin may create a lot of problems for you. But the problem's not what takes you to hell. The problem just makes you regret that you did things down here. The circumstances and the situations, they may stay the same for a good while, but your sins will be gone, gone, gone. Right? It's what the song says, isn't it? My sins are gone. Yes, they are. And so take care of the problem. Let him take care of it just simply by repenting. Now, what does the unsaved man's final pay mean? If that's what the final pay means for the saved person, I'm going to give you a chance here to make a decision as to which one you would prefer to have in your life down here, because down here is when it counts. You're not going to be able to get there and claim ignorance of what was going to happen, because he's very plain with it. You're already now in the house of God, inside the walls, and you can hear me, right? Because I'm quoting right from the Word of God, and here's what's going to happen. Now, the one that's outside the will of God, the one who is not saved, the unsaved person, he'll be judged also, or she'll be judged for the evil works that have been done. Now, evil works does not mean that you have pulled a gun and shot somebody. That's not, that would be an evil work, but that's not, when we say the word evil, we have this thing of these really bad crimes that a person could do that would be evil. But there are more evil things that you could do to a person than shoot them. Amen? Then his degree of punishment will be set by the evil works that you did. Evil is just ungodly stuff. Evil is unlovable things. Evil is something you could do to somebody mentally, emotionally, or physically. There's a lot of ways in which you could do that. But you are going to be cast down to everlasting punishment, where the person who's saved is just going to be rewarded for those deeds done in the body. Now, there may be folks with more rewards, but it's not punishment. But for that person who is lost, then the punishment is going to be handed down. The throne, or the place of judgment that you're going to, is the great white throne. The judgment seat of Christ is for those who are saved. The great white throne judgment is for those who are lost. Now, I'm giving you both of those because you need to know about both of them. You know what's going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be rewarded. At the great white throne judgment, you're going to be judged as to the evil done in the body, and as to the degrees in hell. That's what the Bible states. There's going to be degrees in hell. Would that make a difference? The degrees in hell. You say, well, I can do the math if it's lesser. Or what difference would that make? It's hell. You'd be going to hell. But he says there will be degrees in hell. Now, the day has been fixed. There'll be no calling in sick. There'll be no, could you wait a minute? Could you wait a day? Could you wait an hour? Could you wait? There's no waiting. The day has been fixed. It's already been marked on the eternal calendar of God, and it will never be changed. When is it? Nobody's going to know. You don't know. Nobody will know. You have to make the decision that whatever happens, you'll be ready for whenever it happens. The Bible says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness. That just simply means that what he told you he would do, he's going to do. That's all that means. He's going to be right about it. He's going to handle it right. Your sin will be judged, and it'll be judged in righteousness. He'll do the right thing with it, where man probably wouldn't do the right thing. If we were judging somebody, we may be worse or less lenient. We wouldn't do it right. But he's going to do it in righteousness. By that will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. The person that he has appointed for the appointed day will be sitting on the bench. He's going to judge. You say, but he's love. He loves everybody. He does. That's why he gives man an opportunity to be saved. He loves every man. But his love's going to turn to wrath, folks. Oh, there'll be a great number there, and you've heard people say, well, I won't be by myself. Isn't that a shame? Well, you really will be. You won't be concerned about anybody else. It'll be a personal hell for you. But there'll be a great crowd there. Every lost person from the beginning of time will be there. They are known as Christ rejectors. Down here, rich sometimes don't mix and mingle with poor people, do they? Some do, but not a lot. Usually rich people hang around rich people. Watch, you'll see. Educated people tend to hang around educated people. Just the way we are down here. It won't be that way there. I promise you. Good people should hang around good people, I guess. It won't be that way there. When you get there, there'll be the good and the bad. There'll be the rich and the poor. There'll be the educated and the uneducated. They'll all be in the same place. And they'll all be judged by the same word. They'll all be judged by the same judge. And he's going to judge righteous. He won't be a judge who might have a friend who has a friend. It'll be total righteousness. Not going to be any rules made where I can choose to do what I want to do. He'll go by his word, folks. He's going to do it in righteousness. According to the Bible, some are going to try to escape this. Let me read it for you. You know where it is. It's in Revelation. But I'm gonna read it for you. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 15. Here's what he says. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. This is about everybody. If you could separate them out, you'd find that to be about everybody. And he said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. It's not going to happen. You're not going to run. You're not going to hide. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Question. Who shall be able to stand? No one is going to be able to stand. When the day of wrath comes, the day of the wrath will be here. It'll be the day he has appointed on his eternal calendar. There will be no change in it. Time is up. It's midnight. Final pay. The problem with that for the person who's lost is it's the eternal pay. The final pay is an eternal pay. It just keeps on paying. Keeps on paying. The judge, he's appointed. The judge, he's the one who's given out the sentence. His tender love at this point will be turned into a mighty wrath, a wrath like man has never seen before. I don't want any of my friends or my family to see that, do you? And I say that because there may be somebody here tonight who has never said, I want to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sin of unbelief, and I want him to forgive me and save me so that I can be one of those who's going to heaven, so that I can be one who understands then how to really love. You see, unless you know the God of heaven, you don't know real love. You can't know how deeply to love unless you know him. You say, I love my children. You can't know really how to deeply love your children unless you know the God of heaven, who is love. You can't love your mate unless you know how the God of heaven, who is love. You can't love your fellow man. Oh, you may like them, and you may say, I love them. But you can't know how to love your fellow man until you know what love is all about. And that's the one who loved you so much that before you were ever lovable, before you ever knew you, before your parents ever knew you, before anyone ever knew you, he loved you. There's something going to happen after these judgments. After the judgments, the Christian will sit down at the marriage supper. And there's going to be a life of endless joy. I love to sit down at the supper table, don't you? This time I'll sit down and I'll never have to get up. I'll sit there with him and he'll bless me for eternity. Yeah. Just sit down. Don't you get tired sometimes of battling this old world? You see, when Jesus went back to be with the Father, he sat down. What he had gone to do, he did it. And I would like to say that if there's anybody in here tonight who's lost, if you'll just take care of things tonight, you'll be able to sit down also. You'll be able to sit down at the marriage supper in glory for eternity. But for the lost, it'll be the lake of fire. And don't let anybody tell you. Some folks may have been coming around to your door here lately. I had them at my door not long ago, who believe that hell is not a literal fire. I got news for them. If they're not saved, they'll find out. The Bible's pretty plain about it, folks. You say, well, that doesn't make sense. That how could a person burn for eternity? You'll have to ask God. He knows how. But you see, he didn't create hell for man. He created hell for the devil and his angels, and for all those who do not believe on Jesus Christ for the salvation of their soul. It'll be real. That'll be the day when he would say to you, if you have pretended and been religious all your life, or said my parents took me to church, or whatever the deal is, he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. I never knew you. How sad that would be, knowing that you had the opportunity. How sad that would be for your loved ones. But you see, the good news is that you can receive this loving Savior tonight. But when he begins his wrathful judgment on sin, your opportunity is gone. Is God giving you an opportunity tonight? He sure is. He sure is. And if I could get down on my hands and knees and beg you to give your heart and life to the Lord so that you can leave here with the burden of sin gone and know that it's taken care of, I would do that. But I know it's your decision. No one can make it for you. But I can assure you of this. If you'll make the decision, he'll give you the courage to step out and walk forward and say, among people who love you, I want Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. And leave here tonight knowing that. Would you do that? What final pay do you want? Do you want the rewards or the judgment? That's the final pay. Let's bow our heads. He made it so simple to receive him as your Savior. And I can assure you that if you want to do that tonight, when you start stepping toward me, I'll step toward you. And I'll meet you right here in the middle of these pews. And by that, you can say, I want to ask him to forgive me of my sin of unbelief. He'll take care of all the rest. You'll leave here with the weight lifted tonight. Our God in heaven, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity of salvation. Thank you, Lord, for what you've already done in the lives and hearts of many. And Lord, I thank you for what you can do here tonight. And for if anyone in here tonight has a family member or a friend who's lost, I pray, oh God, that we'll get serious about telling them that one day it's going to all be over. I want to go to heaven with them. I want to be in heaven for eternity. Lord, I just pray tonight that you'll convict and convince that person of their lost condition. Give them courage to step out. So take them, walk forward and say, I want Jesus Christ as my Savior. And we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.